Hello everyone, I'm going to talk on the impact of climate variability on nitrogen transport in urban streams. This project was initiated by me and Dr. Gurpal Tur to understand the urban complexity, means to understand the urban watershed as a system. So here is the brief outline of my presentation. We'll start with the nitrogen pollution in the coastal systems, then the important sources of nitrogen. In the methods section, we'll describe the data sources I used and the framework of research we used for this research. And in the results section, we'll discuss the seasonal impacts on the nitrogen losses, as well as how nitrogen load varies in low versus high precipitation years. We are calling them as extreme years within 34 years time period, and in the I will discuss some of the conclusions. I think in this audience, I don't think I have to explain that nitrogen is a problem for the water bodies. What happens, the excess nitrogen, when it is moved from land surface to the aquatic bodies, it triggers algal blooms, which can cause problems for the aquatic life, and it may have health implications too. So when I was preparing for this presentation, I got this interesting report, which tells that the cost of water pollution in Florida can be up to $10.5 billion per annum. And they used, they calculated this amount by using the problems for the aquatic life and human health and other things. So if you are interested to see like how they calculated, you can go to this this paper. So coming to the sources of nitrogen, so this is the slide which shows that nitrogen can come from either from the wastewater discharges or industries, means the point sources, or it can come from runoff, maybe agriculture, urban, or residential areas. But one thing, important thing to notice in this slide is the precipitation. So no matter it's a residential area or agriculture or any other or any other area, the nitrogen will transport with water. What does it mean? I mean the hydrological cycle is linked with the nitrogen loading in the coastal systems, and from this is actually guiding hypothesis for our research. We can think what will happen if there is a change in the precipitation regime. So about the climatic extremes, I think most of us are aware that climate is changing. And IPCC has predicted that in the coming 100 years, the incidences of climatic extremes, it can be drought or it can be flooding, it will increase in the future. So this is a snapshot that I got from NOAA. You can see in Florida, in 2014, two flooding incidences have occurred. So before designing this research, we reviewed the literature, and we found there is a significant literature which talks about nitrogen export from different kind of watersheds, I mean different land use watersheds. However, there is very limited research focused on how nitrogen transport can vary in different climatic extremes, maybe the hurricanes or the high precipitations. And important thing is how to integrate the complexity of the urban systems. It may be the mixed land use, different combination of mixed land use, retention ponds in the large scale prediction models. I think this is a clear lack in the current studies. So we designed three objectives. First, to determine the concentration of nitrogen forms in stream waters draining urban different land users within an urban watershed, and how the nitrogen forms varied in wet versus dry season, and finally how the climatic extremes that we chose in this research, how nitrogen export varied in those extremes. So in this research, as I mentioned, we used Tampa Bay watershed, which is the largest open water estuary in Florida. Drainage area is roughly 5,000 square kilometers, and it's a home to more than 2.3 million people. And important thing to notice in this area is nitrogen is the limiting factor for phytoplankton growth. So this is the snapshot of the land use area. So you can see this red color is urban. Urban area is dominant, approximately one third of the watershed. Then we have wetlands. And another important land use is phosphate mines. We have some areas which are mined for phosphate. So in this watershed, we selected eight sub watersheds, namely that I showed in the previous figure. And the land use varied in those eight watersheds. But AR3 and LMR were the least urbanized areas, watersheds. So coming to the data collection, I want to make clear in this research, we used all the public available data set. So for the nitrogen forms, we got the data from Environmental Protection Commission. And the flow data we downloaded from USGS, and land use layers we got from Southwest Florida Water Management District, and precipitation data we got from Florida Climate. So in this is the framework of the research framework that we used to determine the impact of climatic extremes. First step, broad step, was to identify if there is any seasonal impact. What we did in this part, we divided the year into wet season and dry season, and we compared the nitrogen forms in wet versus dry. And the step second, I think this was the most toughest part for this research. I and Dr. Tour, we discussed a lot, like, what exactly is the extreme year given the data we have, or given all the EPA data available. We had the monthly data, so we need to invent our own indices for the climatic extremes. What we did in this research, we identified three pairs. 2000 pairs when the difference in the precipitation was more than 40 centimeter per year. So why we use the pairs? Because if the data is for 34 years, and if we compare very like 1981 to 2014, it will be problematic because of if there is some long term trend. So we use the pairs which are closer. So this is the snapshot of the seasonality in the precipitation. You can clearly see from June to September, when we have the high precipitation, this we designed as designated as wet area, and the rest of the months were the dry season. Okay. This is showing we calculated the mean monthly concentrations of nitrogen forms from 1981 to 2014. You can see here the N here is 408, mean 408 observations for each of the nitrogen form. You can see nitrogen, it ranges from 1 to 2 ppm. And important thing is organic nitrogen was the dominant form in most of the stream waters. And another interesting thing, it was the least variable. In contrast, inorganic forms, which included nitrate and ammonium, it was highly variable, as you can see in the figure. So coming to the seasonal impact, let me remind you, the wet season was the month from June to September and dry was October to May. So when we see the total nitrogen, actually there was no pattern. In some of the watersheds, nitrogen concentration was high in the wet season. In some of the watersheds, it was high in the dry season. Things got really interesting when we saw the organic nitrogen. Here the clear pattern was wet season had greater organic nitrogen than dry season. And for the inorganic nitrogen, again, it generally decreased, but not a clear pattern. So as I mentioned, we classified three year pairs as the extreme events when the difference in the precipitation was more than 40 centimeter per annum. So this slide shows the loads of total nitrogen in climatic extremes. It means the difference between wet and difference between the high precipitation and low precipitation year. You can see in all of the watersheds, the nitrogen loading was more when there was high precipitation. So one question arises: is this only because of high flow? So that's the hypothesis we wanted to test. So the previous slide was on the loads. Then we looked into the concentrations because concentration is sometimes more important when we have the low flows or when we have the exponential rise in the nitrogen loading with the precipitation. So here this is a slide that we are still unable to explain, but it briefly tells that in some of the watersheds in the high precipitation year, the concentration of total nitrogen was high, but not in all of the watersheds. But this AR3 watershed, in which the nitrogen concentration it decreased in the high precipitation years, it was least developed. So one thing we can conclude: urban land use alone cannot explain the variability in the total nitrogen loss from this watershed. So to explain this phenomenon, we are still doing research on to identify the different combinations, like mix of different land uses, drainage density and stream network, as well as the role of urban structures. So here I want to conclude, one thing is organic nitrogen was dominant, but it was less variable. Inorganic nitrogen in all the stream waters, it was highly variable among the watersheds. Wet season increased organic nitrogen, while inorganic nitrogen showed a dilution mechanism with high flow. And climatic extremes, they increased nitrogen loading, but its magnitude varied among the watersheds. And conclusion on the land use alone did not explain the pattern of nitrogen loss in the climatic extreme years. So I want to acknowledge the Southwest Florida Water Management District, which provided us the land use data, then Environmental Protection Commission, which provided us the data on the nitrogen forms, and this is a non-funded project. So I want to acknowledge all the taxpayers in US and India. Who's quoted?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect timing. Are there any questions? We have time for at least one. Go ahead.
Interesting talk. Have you tried relating concentrations and regression on different things like percent impervious surface or population density?
these are the things we are still doing it, like impervious surface and importantly the vegetation cover. So we have not yet finished it, because earlier we thought we just related with the urban, which did not explain. We are still doing it.